this is another important one that comes right with it. Well, it's down here a few more. Proprietary position is good, meaning that you have something that you can control to a point, whether it be intellectual properties or whatever it might be. There's some, you have a proprietary position that will enable you to have a certain amount of insulation from competition because of your uniqueness of your idea or your product. Then you have to understand what's the hill your competition will have to climb to compete against you and your approach to it, and understanding where you're going to be positioned. If you really are going to be able to position up yourself up here, and they're down here, and they're going to have to go up here to get to you. That's a good concept to understand and to plan a model that will give you a high rate of possibilities of success. Okay, another in the proprietary position is market position, copyrights, patents, etc. Certainly, getting into an expanding market. Why would it be important to get into an expanding market? Because that means there's new opportunity every day.
The pie's getting bigger, so you can
fit into
carve
it.
Out your piece.
Whereas if it's the market that you're going into something that's flat and it's stable, it might have been good for years, but it's flat. It's no longer growing. Now it's already saturated. You're going to have a harder time penetrating that. You know, the example Larry gave of fitting a need of people that have financial stresses and how to help them through that in a crisis like we have with the subprime and all that going on. But that's an expanding market right now. And so that's a good place to be, an expanding market, not a flat market, or definitely not a declining market. Just like the Selectric typewriter thought, you wouldn't have wanted to start that in the 80s, when they were completely being eliminated, and so it wouldn't have been a good place to start. Okay, easier. This is sometimes a lot of people get so wound up in themselves and their idea that they think our product, our idea, our service is so much better than the competition. We'll just take their customers in droves. Never works out that way. It's a lot harder than it looks. People are loyal to who they do business with unless the people really give them a reason to change. And so don't ever think you can just come in and sweep away competition's customers. Yes?
It seems that it's a two-part story here. One is timing. You have to be an opportunist to know when the timing is right. But unfortunately, you've got to be prepared to move at full tilt, otherwise your competitors will take advantage of the same circumstances. So you really do have to be ahead of the spectrum, but then you got to produce, and that may take ideas, it may take capital, it may take organization. So you can never plan too early before the opportunity comes.
Planning and also being comfortable that you have a competitive advantage and understanding what that is and how you're going to bring that advantage to the customer, where they're going to see it, so they're going to come to you for your goods or services rather than someone else. So certainly anyone in an expanding market is more likely to survive. In the last 10, 15 years in America, you could be a pretty successful home builder doing about anything you wanted. If you had any kind of quality and service, you could be successful because the market was growing so fast. But now that's all changed. And so now, all those guys that were doing great are having to be very careful, and some of them won't be able to survive it. But when it was expanding, it was pretty easy to go in there and be successful. And that's typical. So it's good to be in an expanding market. High margins, models. There's lots of models on high margins. High margins are better than low margins. Quick example in the apparel, which is easy for me to relate to, is you have the Nordstrom's model, high margins, quality, lots of service, beautiful amenities, a good place to be. Then you have Walmart, the giant of them all, low margins, high volume, but still good quality, but not all the bells and whistles that you get when you go to a Nordstrom's experience. Yet, in the apparel category, a good friend of ours started an apparel concept that had worked wonderful for him, for their company, and they took a company from $30 million a year losing money to $600 million a year and making a lot of money. They manufactured a quality garment, and they sold the same garment to Walmart, to Sam's Club, to Costco, to JCPenney, to Dillard's, to everybody, to Nordstrom, the same garment. Came the exact same fabric, the same buttons, everything. It came out of those manufacturing lines with no labeling on them, and right before it was shipped, depending on who it was going to, it was labeled. Nordstrom's put a real nice label with little pocket, really classy stuff with nice art and colors, and whereas Walmart's pretty basic, and Costco just put their Kirkland label on it, and everybody, and that concept, his concept was to build the best pant he could, and build millions of them, and sell them on his side at a low margin. He sold the same garment, the same price to Walmart that he sold to Nordstrom. Now, what they put on it might have added some extra price to the Nordstrom if he's putting all these little tags and colorful things on it to make it look appealing when it's hanging on their racks. But the base garment was identical. When it came out of that, out of their huge bins where that inventory came from, it was identical. It didn't change until it went into that section in this big warehouse between where the garments were and where they were packed and shipped, and that's when it changed. All with marketing packaging stuff on the garment. Yes?
You know, I just heard yesterday from a friend who got into Colombia, and she took a tour of coffee plantations, and she was told there that the product that Starbucks uses as its base product is what nobody else will buy. And so, you know, it's the marketing.
Marketing, yeah. Well, this friend, he said he learned it by one time he was in a New York buying office where they sell water in Perrier. And he went in their room, and they had about 15 labels of water with all kinds of names. It was all the same water, just different names put on the packaging. And what one person wanted in their store, somebody else didn't want. And he said, if they can do that with water, I can do that with khaki pants. Khaki pants was what he really made his fame with, was... just say a khaki pant is a khaki pant. And so quality. And so that, I think it's good to understand margins. High margin selling, and that is that bad? Are you getting cheated to go to a Nordstrom? Because I just told you it's the same product.
You're paying for the service.
Okay, you're not getting cheated. You're there for an experience, and you're paying, and you're getting a lot there that you're not going to get at Sam's Club or Walmart or the others. Some people get confused with that, and they say, we can't charge too much, that's cheating. Well, it's a business model that needs certain margins to work.
But there's an element, though, of quality. I mean, of, say, a jacket that you get from Nordstrom's that would hopefully...
Well, sure.
Kind of
obviously,
the
yeah. Obviously, the model I just said doesn't work in all categories. He did it with khaki pants, cotton khaki pants that everybody likes and wears. And the fashion's another whole story. That's another whole area, and you're paying for fashion, and so it wouldn't mean that everything you'd see in a Walmart would also be found in a Nordstrom. There are just certain categories and they do that.
Like one time we went into American Furniture to buy something or other, new couch, and uh-huh. You know, it was a good price. And the salesman actually said, American Furniture is the Walmart of the furniture business. You know, so you can buy furniture pretty inexpensively, but it's not going to have the same quality as if you went to.
Well, and Walmart as a model, they don't sell poor quality merchandise. Their merchandise is quality. It's not poor quality. Their model is margins. Nordstrom, they have to run at that 55-60% markup to make their model work. Whereas I understand, Walmart used to run at 18%. So they take the khaki pant that my friend sells them, he sold them for $19, And Walmart marks it up 18%, and so they sell it for, you know, for $29. They pay $19 for it. And then Nordstrom, they mark it up and have to sell it for $49, but they paid $19 for it just like Walmart did, or with a few, maybe a dollar here or there for some of the fancy packaging. So that's common. The important part of this whole discussion, in addition to the interest of what's going on, is for you to understand what you're doing when you're making decisions. You can't just have high margins to have high margins. You have to provide a service, a value, and a reason why, like, you're willing to go to Walmart and for everyday stuff and the, know, what is it, lowest prices, guaranteed every day, or is that their kind of their mantra, something like that? And then you go to the Nordstrom, and you don't expect that at all. You expect other things. And so when you start your business, you need to make sure you're in step with whoever you're trying to be. If you're trying to be Nordstrom, you have to provide their what they're doing. And it's the hardest person to be is the Walmart. That's the hardest one to compete with, because their low margins, they have to be so efficient and have such massive volume to make that model work and be profitable. That's why they have just kind of steamrolled the whole retail world with their excellence in their ability to handle that process.
Man. Well, I was just going to say, to charge high margins, you have to add that. Add value,
absolutely.
One way or the other, where it's, absolutely, whether it's the experience or the
service, yes,
or, you know, warranty, or, you know, Nordstrom's is known for doing any and everything. If you take stuff back, it's no questions. It's just, yeah, you know,
They're going to be second to none in customer service. And we'll, tomorrow on the finance part, you'll see a real good model done by IBM where they did a massive worldwide study. Well, I'll show you that on quality service providers compared to poor service providers. Okay, so discussion on margins, high and low margins. Any questions on that before we move on? Okay, then